decisión atroz preventiva de Rocío.
Does that sound exciting to you?
Welcome back! Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle of Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, Demon Hunter!
Thank you for calling Joey Delagno's almost used parts for cars.
After the start tonight, I wouldn't say that's a bad prediction of what might happen. Yeah. Bob's Muffler King, can I help you? Yeah, anyway, been a crazy start, guys. Hey, special thanks to all our sponsors, Demon Hunter, tonight.
Stitcher, hey, let's say their names.
Let's do that. Let's go through the list. Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Action Audio Apps. Hey, are you listening? They want to know. Check them out, actionaudioapps.net and 102.7 FM, The Hog. Thanks, guys, for being so cool.
Oink.
Oink, oink. Hey, what a crazy week. I bet you guys thought we weren't coming on. We had you all hyped up. Everybody was going, oh, no. Where's the Demon Hunter and Ghost Man at?
It's 2 minutes past seven. Obviously, you don't listen to this show a lot, because if you did, you'd know that's just about on time for us.
Yes, absolutely. We've had a problem. Don't you understand how our show works, Demon Hunter?
To give you a little idea, folks, this was not a planned problem. The problems we plan go off fine. This was all of a sudden, Sean and I are talking. All of a sudden, we're not talking because...
That's what we do.
Yes. The power, the lines went down. It must be all those horrible storms people are having everywhere except here.
Yeah, and one of us thought that we were talking.
I just kept going on and on. Oh, told Sean all about my day.
It was terrific. I did
like our usual show.
We were going out live, though, so... The part about
then everybody else knows about what happened.
But anyway, guys, welcome back. It is Sunday night. We knew you had to wait a whole week without us. We're sorry about that. But if you complain to your congressman, perhaps we could do this every night for you. Huh? What do you think about that? Is it congressman?
Ghost Man and Demon Hunter for president.
I don't know if I'd want the job right now. Crazy stuff going on, Demon Hunter.
Yes, I'm gray enough as it is. Yeah. I don't need that.
I'm gray. Anyway, guys, we've been posting all week. Got a great show in store for you tonight. And the fall is upon us. And that means, of course, here is a holy time at the G&D show.
Ooh.
This weekend or this week?
That was Angel singing, just in case, you know. That's right. You couldn't see me doing it, so.
The National Football League has decided to kick it off, baby. We are in full swing, and I love you guys so much at the Shadow Nation. My beloved Indianapolis Colts kicked it off at 7 minutes ago, and I'm right here.
Didn't the Pats play tonight, too?
The Pats got beat. They got throttled by the Miami Dolphins in Miami.
Oh, well, you know...
That's all you think about, the Pats, you know?
Well, they're my local team. What do you want?
What are you going to do? I don't know. But
although I do like the Dolphins, so...
I hate to not like a team called the Patriots. You know what I mean? A lot of people, I'm a Patriot, you're a Patriot. People want to... I would never go against a Patriot of America, because I'm an American, but God, it's the whole Tom Brady, Belichick thing. Belichick. I can't stand it, man. I can't stand it. I don't know. Anyway, nobody likes
you, anti-patriot. You.
Nobody likes a winner. Nobody likes a winner. Demon Hunter. Anyway, so what's going on? Like I was saying, you got that fall feel in the air. It's been a nice 65, 70 degrees here in Indianapolis this weekend. I don't see the leaves changing just yet, but I think fall's here.
Forget the air. You walk into the stores. And there's pumpkin everything, Sean.
Yes, pumpkin ale. I'm drinking right now.
You walk through the stores, and there it is. Pumpkin ale, pumpkin candy, pumpkin donuts.
Pumpkin.
And I'm in pumpkin heaven.
Pumpkin
booty.
I love
every minute of it.
You ever seen a woman with a pumpkin booty? Nothing like a juicy pumpkin beauty.
Is that all that's on your mind, Sean? Halloween decorations are hanging in the stores.
Yeah. I'm excited about that.
That means very soon Halloween will be here, and women will be walking around in those really short skirts that come with those Halloween costumes, and then you'll get your pumpkin booty.
Oh, yeah. You get it every year, Demon Hunter.
Every year.
It's hard to not look, you know. But it's not human not to look, especially when... Do you remember the old hot pinups? You know, the women would dress like...
Yeah, my walls were covered with them when I was a teenage boy.
Well, mine still are, but... Yeah, man. It's very, very awesome. Hey, have you heard about the almanac for this year?
I've heard that they're saying that this is going to be one of the worst winters in a century.
That's it. They're saying expect heavy record snowfalls in the Midwest. I actually seen something on Facebook this week, and it said and it was an F word in the Midwest. You're done. And that pretty much covers you guys out there, too, and connecting.
Yeah, if you guys get it, we get it. Because when that whole shift of the weather changes and it just blows straight across the nation, whatever you get 2 days later, it's going to hit me.
Yeah. It says the Southern Plains,
it's
Midwest.
It's just like those venereal diseases you caught 2 days later. No, I'm kidding. Okay.
Precipitation. Wise, the Southern Plains, Midwest, and Southeast will be above normal conditions, while the rest of the world, or the rest of the United States, will be about normal. So we're going to get throttled, but who knows? Anyway, I thought I'd throw that out there, because apparently there's going to be frost on the pumpkin this year. What do you think about that?
I think that I'm really glad I'm taking my vacation this year in the middle of January, Sean.
Are you really? Where are you guys going?
Where else? Disney World.
Oh God, Disney World.
I'm married to a Disney fanatic, and it's kind of rubbed off. So.
Yeah. Well, what are you gonna do, Demon Hunter?
Ghost Man.
Shadow Nation. Without further ado, you know what time it is.
What time is it, Sean?
For tonight's guest.
Ooh.
Tonight's guest. Curator. Of the museum work. He was from the university administrator for over... He was a university administrator for over 10 years. He has recently worked on several projects with the Smithsonian Institute Museums, served as a researcher benefactor with the state capital of Missouri, and he's a lecturer with the state's Arts Council. God, I'm botching this. He's a member of several local historical groups and the author of the Dybbuk Box. I just had the right way to say that. It's not Dybbuk Box, guys. Dybbuk Box. Something like that. He's also the author of the Dybbuk Box, Jason Haxton, and the owner of the Dybbuk Box.
Dybbuk.
Which is known as the demon in the box that has killed before.
Dun, dun, dun.
He comes on tonight, guys, and tells you what it's like to sleep in the same room with one of America's most haunted, cursed artifacts. Tonight, on your Mystifying Oracle Radio, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Well, you and I have shared a room before, Sean, so I know how he feels.
That's true. This is a big one, though, Demon Hunter. I didn't want to botch that intro on the... I have to do it again later. Jason
we'll
Haxton,
fix it in the mix.
Jason Haxton, guys, from the Possession movie and the Dybbuk Box, the book. Check him out once our show's over. Check out his YouTube and his book. But he's coming on tonight to tell us what he did with the box, what's going on with it, and
the box.
Why he's not dead. Anyway, Jason Haxton, tonight, you're welcome, world. Yeah, you know, it was
sealed in concrete and on his shelf.
It was kind of
again.
It was kind of hard to find Mr. Haxton. He's not one of the movie star guys that you can just find anywhere. But I have heard about this story, Demon. Have you heard about the Dybbuk Box story without telling
me? I didn't hear about it. Well, there's rumors out there that always pass around in our field.
Yeah, yeah.
But I hadn't really paid much attention to the legend until the movie came out.
Yeah.
And then I was interested, of course. Everyone was interested.
First time I heard about the Dybbuk Box was... of course, on the Sci-Fi Channel, they used to do Haunted Lives or something like that a long time ago. I think they also did an Unsolved Mystery. But they had talked about how, you know, the terrors that it had done and a huge history behind it, Demon Hunter. Very excited to hear that and to share that with our listeners tonight because it's an amazing history. Anyway, he's the owner of the box.
He is DeBox.
DeBox. Dibbuk. Dibbuk Box. It's D-I-B-B-U-K. Also spelled Dibbuk.
Dibbuk. Dibbuk.
Well, it's Jewish, you know.
It's yeah.
Hebrew word. It's what do you think Dibbuk is? What do you think that word means in, you know? What do you think? In Hebrew, what's it mean?
Wine?
No. You read into it because you know it was a... Anyway, the Dibbuk box, it's Hebrew word meaning attachment.
Ooh. Hmm? So it's an attachment box.
It's an attachment. And you might recall this came up a couple weeks ago back on one of our shows where we were talking about some of the most cursed artifacts in America. Do you remember that?
No, I never listened to our shows.
I don't either. But we talked about the painting and some other stuff like that. And then, yes. Of course, Jason's Dybbuk box came up. Did you ever come up with your topics that you were looking for this week?
No, I did not. I was looking through them. I did notice, Sean, there's a movie coming out on Halloween Day that you'll be interested in.
Really?
Yes. Not to mention, well, let's start with movies coming up in the near future.
Oh.
There is going to be a sequel to The Conjuring.
Really? I've heard this.
Called Annabelle.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a prequel to the Conjuring situation. I haven't heard from any insiders yet how much it really follows the Ed and Lorraine Warren story.
Right.
Because obviously if it's a prequel to Annabelle before it came to Ed and Lorraine Warren, they can write anything they want.
Well,
so
yeah.
Little interested there. But on Halloween, there'll be a movie coming out called Ouija.
Oh, yeah. Ouija. Wasn't Ouija. One of our guests before talking about that?
Yes.
Yeah. It looks pretty.
So I'm interested in the movies coming out very soon. I haven't gotten out to see As Above, So Below yet.
Right.
You know, it's done in that point of view, camera shaking, Blair Witch style kind of filmmaking, and that kind of makes me nauseous. So I've kind of put that off, but there seems to be the time, Sean, the time of the year for these kind of movies to come out.
It is the time of the year, Demon Hunter. I'm ready for it. you notice how my speech is kind of slurred there? I don't know what's happening here. Either I'm having...
I don't know. Maybe you should put down that beer, Sean. I think that's, what, number 7?
Maybe I'm having a stroke. Let's jump right from movies into... 5 horror movies with real curses, huh?
So we're not leaving movies.
No.
We're just running into movie curses. Yeah. Okay, real curses, you say.
You brought it up. Now, this is what it said. 5 horror movies with real curses attached to them, since tonight topic is the curse box. Thought we'd look into it, and you brought up the movies.
Okay.
Tragic coincidence or curse? Call it what you will, Demon Hunter. The fact that all of these films turn into real-life horror fest is worthy of eyebrow raises, huh? Says so, read if you dare. We dare, don't we?
I try.
We're going to do it. Remember Twilight Zone, the movie?
Yes, I do.
I do, too. I remember that one. It says the original Twilight Zone was one of the greatest shows ever created by Serling, of course. He smoked his way into our black and white nightmares, and America ate it up. In 82, it was announced that filming would begin on a Twilight Zone movie. Fans were elated, ready, and enraged. And a classic was to be reintroduced to a new generation. However, things didn't quite go as planned, Demon Hunter. No.
No?
No. Mr. John Landis was charged with filming a segment of the film titled Time Out in the, I guess, the unusual vein of Twilight Zone lore. It was to be about a man learning a lesson about racism and prejudice. Do you remember this one?
I do remember that one. That was the one where he had to relive the horrors that the people he was racist against had through.
With his buddies at the bar drinking, remember? And he walked out. Yeah, and he was blaming all his pride. Anyway, it's about a man learning his lessons about racism and prejudice by being forced to live the lives of those he showed hatred toward. I didn't even know this to today. He was to be a Jew in occupied France during World War II, and they, if you remember right, they showed something like that.
Mm-hmm.
An African-American in the rural South being lynched by the KKK, and finally a Vietnamese man during the Vietnam War. So... actor Vic Morrow was cast to play the main character with Micah Dean, and Renee Xinyi playing two Vietnamese children that he attempted to save from the warfare at 2:20 a.m. on July 23rd, Demon Hunter, in 1982. The scene began filming in the dark in Ventura, California. And they said that the actor, Morrow, was to carry the children across a river while a helicopter flew toward them. You know what's coming up here.
Oh, I remember when this actually happened.
I don't remember this. With explosions going off around them, Landis told the helicopter pilot to fly lower and lower until the helicopter hovered just about 20 feet above the water. Two giant controlled explosions went off, and somehow the pilot lost control. Chaos ensued. The crew began to flee. Morrow lost his grip on Renee, who was in turn crushed by the helicopter. Then the blades of the helicopter decapitated Morrow and young Micah.
Oh, I remember reading this in a magazine.
After Landis realized what had happened, an announcement was made. Leave your equipment where it is. Everyone go home, please. Everyone go home.
Sean, I remember so vividly friends of mine at school having magazines with pictures of this happening, showing it to everybody at school. And for those of you who are a little younger listening to our show now, magazines were like the internet, but on paper. It was all we had. I was just stunned. And of course, they don't show you any of the gory pictures, but they did show, I guess, a picture had been snapped just as the helicopter was coming down.
Yeah.
And of course, rumors flew around saying that the actor had gotten decapitated and blah, blah, blah. But when the true story came out, that was even worse than what we'd heard.
Yeah, anyway. I seen that movie.
Oh, anyway, yeah. I'm just the other host.
No,
forget what I said.
I understand what you're saying. It's more important for the audience to understand. I don't have to understand. I just have to agree or disagree, which 9 out of 10 times is disagreement.
Yeah, well.
I was going to finish reading this here because I remember him pulling away in the train, as you said you did too.
Yep.
Which led me to believe that he finished the thing. Apparently he did not. This is the first time I've heard about this.
Well, they must have filmed it out of order then.
I don't know. What makes this tragedy even eerier, Demon Hunter?
Mm-hmm.
What makes it eerier? Do you know?
I do not.
I'm giving you a chance to come back with your story about the magazine and the whole reading. And
No. You didn't like my story. Forget it. Go on and tell people what happened.
I love your story. Mashugana. Anyway, it makes it even eerier that Morrow was in a movie called Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry. In the film, his character is asked to fly a helicopter. His reply, I'm not getting up in a helicopter. I have a premonition that I'm going to get killed in a helicopter crash.
See that? But here's the question. Did the premonition come true, or did he make that premonition come true?
Power
by speaking it in the beginning? I don't know. I'm just rambling. Go on. Hey, Sean.
What's that?
Do you hear that?
Oh, my God. Yes.
It's that time already.
Okay.
For us to take a 2-second break so that we can, our folks over at 102.7 The Hog can fit in all those wonderful commercials.
Oh.
So I guess we'll be right back after this.
Hey, Shadow Nation, welcome back to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. We're right in the middle of talking about Demon Hunter brought up, the horror movies coming out for the Halloween season. And I've been looking at the top 5 horror movies with real curses. Huh? What do you think the second one is, Demon Hunter? Second movie with real curses.
The Crow.
Oh. Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, I'm way off. Go ahead.
Yeah, it said the most famous reason the film is thought to be cursed is, of course, the famous Manson family murders.
Oh.
Yeah. Polanski's beautiful and pregnant wife, Sharon Tate, was hosting some friends at their home, apparently, in Hollywood Hills. Polanski was in London at the time. It was the night of August 9th, 69, that Tate and 4 of their victims were brutally murdered.
Ow.
That's terrible, man.
Quit it.
That's terrible. I don't know why all these curses are around. Well, I guess she did give birth to, Satan.
Yeah, well, that does tend to ruin the rest of your, plans.
It says...
But then again, children in general tend to ruin most of your plans. So.
Yeah!
Oh.
Says music producer Terry Metchler had previously resided at the residence. He had made an enemy in Manson when Melcher refused to collaborate on an album with him. Some say that Manson thought he still lived there, and that's why he broke in and finally ended up killing Tate and her friends.
Now you got to ask yourself, what kind of a move was it to refuse that? Because just think what that album would be selling for now.
See? What would that go for? I know. What do you think number three is on the top five cursed movies?
I don't know. I already screwed up by saying The Crow for number two. I'll just keep saying The Crow till it comes out. It's either The Crow or Poltergeist.
Oh, you got it. Poltergeist. Number three, my friend, top five with real curses, Poltergeist. I heard things about this when we were kids.
Yeah, I've come to find out that so many of them weren't true, what we heard as kids. But
some of these are.
Tell me more. Yes,
first of all, it's been rumored that real skeletons were used in the famous pool scene.
Mm-hmm.
The reporter says, I've actually had a few people in the biz confirm this. However, they claim it's because the foam latex used to make the skeletons look aged needed to be baked. Fake bones melted. Yeah. Says this, however, is nothing compared to the many, many deaths associated with the trilogy. The first was the Dominic Dunn, who played the Freeling's teenage daughter, was strangled to death by her ex-boyfriend. Huh? Did you know that?
I did not know that. That's a shame. She was cute.
She was hot. She was only 22 at the time, Demon Hunter.
Oh, man.
Dunn's on-screen little sister, the infamous Carol Ann, played by Heather O'Rourke, also died tragically. This is the one I heard about.
Yeah.
O'Rourke had an undiagnosed intestinal blockage that caused septic shock and cardiac arrest. She was 12 when she died, and the third Poltergeist film was released after her death.
Aw.
I know. Remember when she was the third Poltergeist when she was like real chunky?
I think so. That was the one with all the mirrors.
Yeah. I wonder if that had something to do with her being chunky.
I don't know.
Will Sampson, Demon Hunter, a real-life Native American shaman, actually tried to exorcise alien spirits from the set of the second film. He died soon after due to complications from a kidney transplant. Julian Beck also starred in the second film and quickly succumbed to stomach cancer.
Ooh.
Isn't that something?
And then, of course, you know, the dad.
Mm-hmm.
The dad was cursed. He went on to make Coach.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he went on to make the television series Coach, and look how cursed that was.
That was terrible.
Oh,
but he did make a comeback.
I'm just an evil man.
He did make a comeback.
Somebody's going to send me an email saying I'm going to hell for that one, and I'm going to reply back, really, that's what I'm going to hell for?
He did make a comeback in the Blades of Glory.
Oh, well, true.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, I forgot to mention, Oliver Robbins, who played the other Freeling sibling in the Poltergeist, was almost killed when the possessed clown malfunctioned on the set.
Well, you know how possessed clowns can be, Sean.
Yes, they're spooky. They're spooky. Hey, what's your Halloween costume going to be this year? Have you thought about it?
You know, I haven't decided.
You haven't thought about it?
That's usually a last-minute thing for me.
Really?
Depends on whether I'm working on Halloween.
Ooh.
I hate the thought of working on Halloween, but it could happen.
Yeah, well, it could be. Number two, Demon Hunter. Movie buffs are well aware The Exorcist was one of the most grueling movies to shoot. Every time we watch it, it keeps getting funnier, right? Isn't that what Beetlejuice said? It says Linda Blair and Ellen Burstyn suffered permanent damage to their backs. The cast was forced to work in freezing temperatures, and director William Friedkin, which I just spoke with his agent, Demon Hunter, went around slapping people. Okay, just one person, but still. The set constantly caught fire, and Friedkin had a priest come pray for the crew and bless the set with holy water.
Okay, you know, it's... But think of all the money they've made for pea soup over the years.
That's true. Can you even buy pea soup anymore?
Of course you can buy pea soup.
I don't eat pea soup.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I don't know.
Just... can't eat it and watch that movie at the same time.
That's true. Apart from the apparent deaths, Demon Hunter, that took place, there was no mistaking the mass hysteria the film caused. Reports of people fainting, vomiting, having heart attacks, and even one miscarriage came in from all over the world in Italy. Or came in from Italy, that report. A 400-year-old cross was struck by lightning during the premiere. People's violent reactions to the film were so severe that it was banned in several countries, including England, until recently.
Many people even say to this day, Sean, that the steps outside the building where it was filmed, you know, those steps that go down right in front of the building?
Yes.
In the movie?
Yeah.
Many people say that those steps are cursed and haunted from the movie.
What's supposed to happen with those?
I don't know. But everybody tells me I got to go check it out, that you get weird noises, that things touch you. I'm like, if I want that, I'll spend another night with Sean.
Absolutely. I don't know. The first one was, what do you think it was? The very number one, the first real cursed movie, number one on our list.
Number one.
Think 80s, late 70s, 80s.
Late 70s to 80s. And the number one cursed movie is from the late 70s or 80s?
Late 70s or 80s.
It's not like Wizard of Oz?
No.
Then it, oh my gosh, I don't know. Late 70s to 80s.
I'll give you a hint. Damien! Damien! Damien!
Huh? So The Omen?
The Omen! You got it!
Yes. Is the most cursed movie.
It says, if you don't believe in curses by now, Nathan... After reading about The Omen, you may start Googling about where to buy sage in bulk to smudge your house with evil spirits. Of evil spirits, not smudge.
Of evil spirits. I don't want to smoke fill my house with evil spirits.
You don't want to smoke evil spirits. Smudge your house with evil spirits. Just grab one and start cleaning the walls.
Wow, it looks dirtier than ever.
Okay, for starters, Gregory Peck, screenwriter David Seltzer, and producer Mace Newfield were each in planes on separate occasions during filming that were struck by freaking lightning.
Freaking lightning?
That's what it says. Freaking lightning. I don't know if that's different than...
than regular lightning?
God was like, dude, didn't you guys get the point after the first two? No. Well, bam. There's number three. Now stop making this movie. Anyway, the reporter took a lot of stuff. Let's see what else. Director Richard Donner, nice name, was staying at a hotel while it was bombed by the IRA.
Really?
Yeah. The cast also had reservations at a restaurant that they never made because it, too, was bombed by the IRA. Yes. Like a lot of hungry people on this set. The day after filming the safari park scene, that was a spooky one, Demon.
It was. I recall that.
Yeah. An animal handler was mauled by a lion. Oh, in the cemetery dog scene, those animal handlers were attacked by the dogs that were in that movie.
Well, that just goes to show you. Yeah. Ever want to work with children or animals in the movies?
And it was also, yeah, animals, children, same. Ah, no, I'm kidding. It was during filming Demon Hunter that star Gregory Peck was informed that his son, Jonathan Peck, had shot himself.
Aww.
Yeah, and the granddaddy of them all, a few months after The Omen had wrapped, special effects director John Richardson was driving with his assistant, Liz Moore. They were now in the Netherlands to film A Bridge Too Far, that's the name of the movie. On their way to the set, they were involved in a car accident, an accident so severe that Moore was cut in half.
My God, man.
Yes, Richardson survived the crash, and as he stumbled away from the wreckage, he looked up to see a sign. What did the sign say, Demon Hunter?
Bad omens.
Oh, close. Omen, 66.6 kilometers.
Ah,
666, and Omen, except there was an extra N in there. That's it, guys. Top five scary movies, cursed scary movies of all time. You're welcome.
Well, I was going to say thank you, but since you're welcome to me already.
Nate, I got another one. You think we got some time here?
Sure, why not? We've got about 6.5 minutes.
I got to get this cat box out of the studio because it's killing me. You know what I mean? I clean it like three times. Yeah,
that's
a day.
A bad place to keep it, man. We're in a sealed room.
Well,
we have no ventilation.
I had to move it. It's bad, you know? Anyway, 15 people with real life superpowers.
Oh.
Think about that because we're on the superhero kick now. Everybody's wanting to be a superhero.
You know, do you have your own cursed box in that room, Sean?
Oh, my God. We'll call it the Poopic box. The Poopic. We're not making light of it. This is scary. I don't want a Dybbuk box. Actually, that would be kind of cool to have one.
Yeah, your wife would not let you have that in the house.
If I had it sealed, you know, in a case or whatever, like the Annabelle doll. At the Warrens. Yes! Yes! Anyway, 15 people, Demon Hunter, with real-life superpowers. You're not going to...
Okay, tell me, Sean. Tell me more.
15 people with extraordinary abilities that make them look like something straight out of a Marvel comic book. Number one. Ooh, static. Eye-popping man.
Eye-popping man.
Claudio Pinto has the ability to pop out his eyes 95% out of their sockets.
And how does he use this to fight off evil villains?
Well, he freaks them out, apparently. They go, ooh, ooh, ooh!
It'd freak me out.
That's what he does. That's what he does. Are you ready for the next one?
I'm always ready.
Are you getting storms there? Because I'm hearing the pop, pop, fizz, fizz.
You know what? I think... No, I'm not getting storms, but I think... Oh, you know, I know exactly what it is. I'll end this right now. Folks, I won't be in the chat room anymore tonight. Thank you for being in the chat room. We appreciate it greatly, Nitro Jill. We know you're there, and Cleric Tavern, and our friends that log in. But I think it's affecting our broadcast.
Who knows? Anyway, number two, number two, crazy visual memory. Stephen Wilshire has the ability to look at a subject just once. He's a police officer, Demon Hunter, and create a drawing of the subject in full detail.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he can
do. He's Pencil Man.
Yeah, Pencil Man. He can do it. Don't ever do a crime around him. Number three, Demon Hunter, the boy made of rubber. Daniel Browning Smith, and he has been named the most flexible man alive. How flexible is he? You might ask, Demon Hunter.
How flexible is he, Sean?
Flexible enough to dislocate his arms in order to fit through an unstrung tennis racket. Huh? Hey, you sounded like a woman when you exhaled like that.
It was a recording, really, it was.
Yes, the rubber boy has three Guinness.
An unstrung tennis racket.
Unstrung tennis racket. He's got three Guinness records.
Well, isn't like an unstrung tennis racket just like a big hole?
No, it's not like... Well, yeah, but it's... Tennis racket's pretty small. Can you get through there?
I've never tried. It's important.
We're not going to make it through the 5th. Or the 15th. Teeth of Steel, Rathakrishna Vulu. Drink up, guys. We're not playing the game yet. From Malaysia.
Okay.
Guess what he's able to do?
Bite through anything?
He pulls weights over 200 pounds with his teeth. Huh?
I'm pretty sure I would lose teeth on that one.
He says that he got this talent, Demon Hunter, when he studied from an Indian guru who taught him to channel all his power to a single part of his body. Now, I would like to study under that guru, but to channel all my energy to a different part of the body, which I really don't need much help at. Seems to be getting worse, actually. Not worse than doesn't work, but seems to be getting... You know, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Worse than I heard, Sean. Anyway, number five.
Censors. Censors say, ding, 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 ding. Stop that story.
Number five, the man that never sleeps, Demon Hunter.
Well, I told you about the nightmares I've been having.
Yeah, we didn't get to go into that because you had to go to the bathroom or whatever.
It just hit me that in those nightmares, Sean, you and I were fighting a demon named Debak.
Really?
Yes.
Are you making
it
that
didn't even
up?
Occur to me until after I went to the bathroom. Isn't that funny?
You're making but, that up. Yeah, are you making that up, or do you swear to God?
I swear to God.
Well, Debak. We're fighting a demon named Debak. Let's see if that. Let's see if that makes any sense whatsoever. You go ahead and run distraction. Let me check it out here.
Dun, dun, dun.
Nightmares with Debak. Debak demon in them.
There demon. You go.
See. The Possession production notes Sci-Fi Japan. Doors are made for opening. Demons on Pinterest. Yeah, I don't see anything.
No.
About that.
No. There we go.
Wait a second.
It just seemed interesting to me that it was very similar to the name of the box, Sean.
What do demons... Yeah, I think it is too. What does fighting demons mean in your sleep?
I don't know. Let's look that up, Sean. Because people don't care about superheroes anymore. They want to know about my dreams.
Well, this is ADD, so we can go...
It's ADD radio, folks.
Anyway, this is...
We're ADDJs.
This is talking about sleep paralysis. We'll have to look it up and get back to you folks next week. Won't we, Demon Hunter? Huh?
Yeah, what about my dreams?
Yeah, what happened?
But in a, Sean, in the dream, for some reason, people were serving mint cake and somebody stole my car.
Did you write this down?
No, I did not.
Did I die, possibly, in the dream?
No, actually, the funny thing was that the last thing was we had to escape this area, and you told me to run and get the car, and you were trying to save a girl. Because, you know, there was a girl around, so you had to try and save her. And you ran off to do that, and I ran to get the car. And I got up, and there was a guy on top doing an auction, selling cars, and my car was gone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why was you trying to sell your car?
I wasn't trying to sell my car. Somebody else sold my car.
Well, that's very interesting, Demon Hunter. You know what time it is?
What time is it, Sean?
It's time for In the News.
Well, you know what also time it's about to be in about 10 seconds.
What is that? It's always fresh. It's always exciting. Strange, weird, and it's straight from the G&D show vault. Hopefully don't take more than 10 seconds, and it starts right
now.
Did it in 10 seconds, didn't I?
Hey, and Sean, you know what that sound means?
I do! Why don't you tell them about it, bro?
That means that it's time for us to take a break out there for those folks over at 102.7 The Hog and everybody listening. And we'll be right back after this with G&D in the news.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only mystifying Oracle of Radio. Special thanks to Midnight Syndicate for bringing you today's strange news. Actually, we're bringing it to you, but they've been so kind to let us use their logo and some of the background music. We love them.
And that's right, Sean. And guess what? That also means that everybody listening gets to play the G&D drinking game.
Oh.
That's right. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter weird news in the news means Sean and I pull our stories right out of the papers and pick them according to the titles. We don't actually get a chance to read them beforehand, so we make a lot of mistakes. And every time we make a mistake, you get to take a drink.
You do.
We'll probably be drinking with you. You'll get to drink a lot, folks. But we do recommend that if you're listening to us in your car, listening to us on your little iPad or on 102.7 The Hog, don't play the G&D drinking game. You're going to get in trouble. We're not going to take the blame. Also, if you have anything important to do tonight, like talk to someone you'd love, put a diaper on your child, it doesn't matter, anything important, please listen responsibly.
Are you suggesting they can't diaper their young children while they are under the influence?
Well, you never know. Kid comes out with a diaper wrapped around his head going, "Mommy, I can't breathe."
Like Stewie in Family Guy. That was good. Ram attacks drone, Demon Hunter.
Dun, dun, dun. We all knew these drones were trouble.
They are trouble. The Rams are giving them what for, yo. This comes out of the Huffington Post. Not out of them, of course. We've covered that before, but we're going to say out of them. Anyway, Ram attacks drone. Usually you think it's the other way. Well, a drone pilot paid the price for getting a very close look at a ram. On the countryside of New Zealand, the clip shows a black woolly ram charging at a cameraman. Charging at a camera that is buzzing around it. After the cut-in footage, the drone pilot is shown retrieving his downed drone. And that's when the ram tries exacting some revenge on the annoying device.
Dun, dun, dun.
In the video uploaded to YouTube on Monday, user Bahazi... Uh-oh. I can't
drink,
read it.
Drink, drink.
Bahazi wrote that I was looking for an angry ram with my FPV quadcopter. I got a bit close... And he managed to hit it, knocking it into the bush. Luckily, no harm done. When I went to retrieve it, he followed me. I had my hands full, so he got me pretty good. Oh!
Ooh.
Yeah. His motherboard notes, the pilot is pretty much harassing the ram, so it's easy to expect a reaction from the wild animal. Huh? Nice.
So,
Ram!
Ram.
Yeah.
So the drone got the butt of that joke, huh?
He did! Actually,
ooh.
The drone got it.
Drone. Hey, drone. Sean, this comes to us from the Mirror.
Oh, what is it?
And let's see if I can get through just the title without everybody having to take a drink.
Oh, no.
Aussie car crash coma victim wakes up in hospital speaking fluent Chinese.
Yeah. Oh.
I thought that was interesting.
I like America.
Don't. We're huge in Malaysia.
Yeah, I like China.
An Aussie man who woke up from a week-long coma after a horrific car crash found he could only speak Mandarin.
Really?
English-speaking Ben McCannon, 22, says he woke up and saw a nurse who looked Asian standing by his bed, and said to her, "Excuse me, nurse, I feel really sore here," in Chinese.
Have you seen my Lena?
Well, I have not, sir.
I feel sore right here, nurse. Hello, nurse.
He then asked the nurse for a piece of paper and a pen, and he wrote on it in Mandarin, "I love my mom. I love my dad. I will recover."
That's good.
Hot dog.
That's good. But now,
I know, it's sweet.
Some people buy the tapes, Demon Hunter, to learn Mandarin.
See, here's where the story gets a little depressing for me. I thought this was like a miracle.
Oh, yeah.
Despite taking Mandarin at school, Ben had never been fluent at the language.
Really?
"I was constantly thinking I was speaking Mandarin. I wasn't constantly thinking I was speaking Mandarin. It was what was just coming out. And it was what was most natural for me," he said. It took Ben about 3 more days till he could recall how to speak English.
Did he forget Mandarin when he... Does he still know Mandarin?
No, he can still say chopsticks.
Chopsticks! I can play that on the piano.
Since then, Ben's language skills have opened up new opportunities for him, including leading Chinese tours of his hometown and even hosting Mandarin television programs.
Oh, my God.
Hot dog!
I know. Now, the Melbourne man has moved to Shanghai to study commerce at university.
I'm ready for sex.
No, well, he'll get plenty of that, I'm sure.
At university?
At university. That's what it says, at university.
I can't help that.
He said he was fluent. Oh, sorry, have a drink, folks.
What did he learn now?
He said he was fortunate to be alive.
Fluid.
And to be able to speak a second language. But what happened to Ben is not the first of its kind. In 2010, a 13-year-old Creotian girl woke up and had replaced her fluency in her native language with speaking German.
Oh!
Now she has a job, I'm sure, at a bar.
Do they say some kind of supernatural stuff, though, Demon Hunter?
I don't know. More recently, a U.S. Navy veteran was found unconscious in a motel room and had no recollection of how he was able to speak fluent Swedish in July of 2013.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah, to Sweden, nah. That's the best Swedish accent.
Sure.
Hey, now I found this. Are you done, Demon Hunter? I want to be.
I'm done. Go ahead. You don't care about my stories. Okay. Go ahead and read
my co-host, my brother. Listen, I found this next story, and I don't want to read it without your permission because you are a huge Disneyland Mickey Mouse and other costume characters.
I knew you were going to pick that one.
Do you want it? I'll give it to you.
No, please. Go ahead.
No, I don't want to take it. It's like raping you of your Mickey Mouse.
Why? You've done that before, too.
Angry rape. Folks, Mickey Mouse and other costume characters beat motorist in bizarre road rage incident.
I'd just like to point out, Sean, that this was not a Disney-sanctioned activity.
How do you know? It could have been. Disney has a nightlife, don't they? Oh!
Ooh!
This is either the world's most bizarre road rage incident or one of the craziest stage pranks you'll ever see. The clip caught on camera that you guys can get on YouTube in Russia over the weekend shows a motorist stopping a vehicle with which he had some kind of problem, but as people dressed as Mickey Mouse, SpongeBob SquarePants, Scrat from Ice Age, and some kind of spotted creature jump out and start beating him. He was probably wishing he had just stayed home and watched cartoons.
Australia. Now he's gotten up close and personal with those cartoons.
See? It's a small, small, small world.
Ah.
Get it? Australia's Nine News reports. Good day, mate. That the title of the video, whatever, it's wasted on people. Reports that the
real
title,
radio, Sean, day, watch mate. The language.
Hold on, let's try to do it. Australia's Nine News, mate, reports that the title of the video translates into severe. Oh God, drink up, guys. Chelyabinsk Disney, severe. I swear to God, I'm not bossing this. Chelyabinsk Disney, implying that the incident took place in the Russian city of. Chelyabinsk. It should be noted, Demon Hunter, however, that while Mickey Mouse is a Disney character, neither SpongeBob nor Scrat are. Disney refuses any further statements on the matter. I made that up.
Told you. They're probably hunting down Mickey right now going, what were you doing? We told you to stay away from the vodka.
I made that up. Disney possibly could make a statement on it.
Well, maybe. They're good. They're good people.
Are you taking the next story, or are we just gonna?
Well, let's hop to one story here. I just want to read this one. 18-year-old marries dog.
Yeah.
To ward off curse.
Oh, I knew you'd take my story.
I told you.
Take it away.
Many women don't find their husband's dogs.
I'm ready for sex.
Many women don't find out. Their husband's a dog until after they get married. Manji Manda.
Manji Manda.
Doesn't have that problem. The 18-year-old who lives in a small village in the state of Jharkhand. That's correct, isn't it, Sean? India. Recently married a stray pooch in order to ward off a curse that her fellow villagers feared would cause the death of any man who married her. Manja's dog, Sir Abada, Amunda.
Drink!
Manja's dad, not her dog, her dad, Sair Amunda, said he didn't want to be... Sorry, he didn't want to be dogged by the curse any longer than necessary.
Dogged?
Oh, I see. It was a pun. It was a trick of the words there. That's why it got me. The village elder told us that we should organize the wedding as soon as we can.
Absolutely.
He told Brocroft TV. We had to make sure that the evil spell was destroyed.
Yeah.
Amanda found a stray pooch named Sharu and made him the groom in the traditional and elaborate indie wedding, even driving him to the ceremony in a limousine.
Oh!
Marunda is hosted about... Marunda is honest about her feelings about the whole thing. Yeah. I am not happy with the marriage, she said, according to the Metro. There is good news. The dog wedding is only ceremonial since it is not legally binding. Marunda will be able to marry a human man who hopefully won't cat around on her.
Oh, won't do what? Cat around?
Cat around on her?
Yes. Terrible.
I know.
If Charlie Brown was here, he would say so.
Like, I know, but you can never find Charlie Brown when you need him.
You can't. I don't know. Anyway, so they didn't get to have a wedding night or nothing?
I hope not. No, Sean, don't go there. I can hear the joke through the airways. Don't do it.
That's terrible.
Doggy style.
No!
Don't do it.
Why did you do it? How'd you do it? Anyway, guys, that's your G&D show in the news. You're welcome, world. You're welcome.
We try.
We do try.
Hey, Sean, you know what time it is?
Is it time to take a break?
No.
It's time for Legend X!
It's time for Legend X!
Here it goes. Oh, that's not it. I'm off my game. We haven't done Legend X.
It's been 3 weeks since we've gotten to do a Legend X. You forgot where the music was.
Hold on, I got a creepy voice on. You ready? Legend X is a G&D original series That means Nathan and myself came up with it, the Demon Hunter and the Ghost Man, where each week we scour the universe, or at least the planet Earth, to find you the hottest legends out there, to find out are they fact or fiction. From the Frogman, to the Mothman, to the Lizardman, to Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Yeti, what have you. Huh?
Swamp Ape.
You think it's Swamp Ape?
Swamp Ape.
I don't know. I don't know if it's Swamp Ape. I don't know. I don't know if I believe in the Swamp Ape. Anyway, tonight's Legend X.
Swamp Ape.
No, it's not the Swamp Ape. Haunted Inn at 835 in Springfield, Illinois.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Built in the early 1900s, the Inn at 835 in Springfield, Illinois. First house luxury apartments. The dream of Belle Miller, it was. A turn-of-the-century businesswoman. She was designed during the arts and crafts movement by architect George Hemlin. While still in her 20s, Belle Miller began a floral business there, Demon Hunter, in the 1890s. She was a small business owner.
I like flowers.
Yeah, she had a number of greenhouses out back, apparently, going for about a city block. She had a lot of money. In December of 1909, her dream home was completed, including airy verandas, drink up guys, massive fireplaces, and exquisite oak detailing in the neighborhood once terrified, I'm sorry, drink up, once termed aristocracy. Oh, how do you say this, Demon?
Aristocratic.
No, it doesn't say, there's no tatic, cratic. There's aristocracy. Aristocracy. And we'll just say, drink up, guys. Aristocracy Hill. In no time, the dignified building attracted an array of aristocratic, there you go, that's aristocratic, tenants who graced the luxury apartments, huh?
I was looking at the wrong thing.
Yeah, graced the luxury apartments over the years. It says in 1994, the building was completely renovated and the apartments were converted into 7 luxurious guest rooms, each offering private baths and amenities such as double jacuzzis, airy verandas. Verandas. In 1995, the building was placed on the National Registry of Historic Places. But according to legend, Demon Hunter...
Yes?
Shadow Nation, Belle Miller became so fond of her dream home that she refuses to leave. Huh? From guest and staff come the stories of a warm, friendly voice that seemingly comes out of nowhere. On other occasions, a ghostly figure has been seen drifting through the doorways. One report included a book taken from a tightly packed shelf and placed in the middle of the room multiple times, Ghostbusters. On another occasion, when the wallpaper began to peel away from the wall, Demon Hunter in the bathroom, it was found to be perfectly repaired the next morning. Apparently, Miss Miller continues to care for her luxurious home. Huh? She also seems to have a penchant for candy. Drink up, guys. I'm not sure about that. Yeah. As the sound of the lid from a crystal candy dish is often heard being removed and replaced. Yeah, and replaced when no one is around. Most often reported are the strange events occurring in the elevator. Guests often report the regardless of the button they push, they wind up in a different room, though the elevator has been serviced and inspected on multiple occasions with reports that it is in perfect working order. The events continue to occur. Today, the historic inn provides gourmet breakfast and evening wine and cheese. In its luxurious surroundings, meeting and banquet facilities are available for up to 150 guests. Nice plug. Your contact information, guys, for 835 South 2nd Street, which is referred to as the inn at 835 Springfield, Illinois. The contact number 217-523-44. 6-6. Tonight's legend, Haunted Inn at 835 in Springfield, Illinois. Check her out, guys. The ghost of Belle Miller. She might be waiting on you, Demon Hunter. You never know.
Well, we gotta go. We gotta go, Sean.
We need to go check that out. That's kind of our thing, but, you know, it's the cutesy type da-da-da-da-da. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, you know, that's the kind of thing that some of our fans might want to go check out themselves, and so we can go check it out and tell them how it is.
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, that's what we do. You know, it is cutesy, though. I mean, what are we going to look for? A candy jar opening and closing. Uh-oh! You know what that sound means, Shadow Nation. That sound means we're going to go to break. We're going to play a band of the week, tonight's guest, guys. Get ready. Jason Haxton, author of The Dybbuk Box. Also from the movie The Possession and the real-life owner of one of America's most cursed artifacts. We find out tonight what it's like to come face to face with this artifact. With tonight's guest, Jason Haxton. Tonight's band, everybody, wants you to get ready. It's an Indiana band. I love them myself. It's called Reverend Peyton. Name of the song is Brown County Bound. Demon Hunter, Shadow Nation. We'll be right back.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to it.
One day I'll be back around until then. I'm Brown County bound. I'll be seeing you all around until then. I'm Brown County bound. And it's a long, cold winter. And it's a long, hot summer. But it's a short fall back home. One day I'll be back in town. Until then, I'm Brown County bound. I'll be seeing you all around. Until then, I'm Brown County bound. And it's a long, cold winter. And it's a long, hot summer. But it's a short fall back home. If you want to be around me, I don't have to go there alone. I'll be down in Brown County with these hills and my home. It's a long, and it's a long, but it's a short fall back home. I'll be seeing you all around until then. I'm Brown County bound. One day I'll be back in town until then. I'm Brown County bound. Until then, I'm Brown County bound. Until then, I'm Brown County bound. Until then.
Hi, this is Max Brooks, author of Zombie Survival Guide and World War Z. And for some inexplicable reason, you're listening to Ghost Man and Demon Hunter. And not being grateful.
Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only mystifying Oracle of Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Tonight's guest, author of the Dybbuk Box, Jason Haxton, stops by. University administrator for over 10 years. He's recently been involved in several projects for the Smithsonian, and he's also the owner of America's most cursed artifact, the Dybbuk Box. Please help us welcome Shadow Nation to studio, Mr. Jason Haxton. Jason, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Jason. Welcome to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Hey, guys. Sean, Nathan, it's great to be on your show tonight.
Oh, it's great.
Hey, we've got to start off, Sean, right off the bat. We got to start off with one question. We've been debating whether we're saying it right, Jason. Is it the Dybbuk Box?
You're one of the few who actually have it right. Dybbuk Box, a Jewish word meaning cleaving spirit.
Oh, my gosh. Jason, I've been researching for a week. And I've watched 1,000 videos, and I've read 1,000 articles on the box, and everybody says it differently. And I didn't have a chance to call you before the show, and I thought, geez, we're going to sound stupid if we're pronouncing this wrong. But we got it, Dybbuk.
Yep, just the way it's spelled.
That's great, now, you've done so many things, and you've been involved in the movie The Possession. I watched a lot of your interviews on the red carpet, if you will, on premiere night. And with the success of that movie, it was crazy. What did you, I'm going to start out with, before we get into the story, Well, maybe I shouldn't, Demon Hunter. Maybe.
Well, let's start off and Jason tell us how he, you know, what brought him to the point where he would even want to own something like the Dybbuk Box.
Yeah, let's do that.
Jason, what happened in your life that led you down a road that this became a good idea? The most cursed object in America. I want to own that.
No, it was never a good idea. And I'm intelligent enough with a background in humanities and history to know that, and what little I knew about Jewish faith, that I certainly didn't want to mess with such an item. However, like you guys are buddies and friends, and I had a guy who was an illusionist, and he heard about this artifact that one of my museum staff members had in his apartment through a roommate. And he said, hey, I'd love to get my hands on that. And it's like, well, I think I can negotiate that. And we worked out the deal, purchased it, whatever. And then he didn't want it.
Is it like the imp in the jar that every time, or the imp in the bottle, every time you get rid of it, you have to sell it for $1 less than you paid for it?
I don't know if it's about you have to sell. That is the rationale, though, is why when the staff member's roommate didn't want me to see it or anybody to see it, it was, you want to see it, you buy it. Because my hair's falling out, I have shadowy figures chasing me, my life has gone to hell in a handbag, and I want rid of this, and I think you have to willingly buy it, and then you purchase the curse.
It is very imp in the bottle.
So I did willingly buy it for a friend who then basically found every reason every time I tried to get it over to him not to be banished, went away, claimed illnesses, and finally I realized it was never going to go there, and I started doing my research to figure out what the heck did I get my hands on to.
Right. Now, before we get into, you know, the box and how it made you feel and all that stuff, Jason, I've seen a lot of stuff. I think it was Unsolved Mysteries and a couple other things on Sci-Fi Channel where the original, I don't think it was Kevin, because I think Kevin was your friend, right?
No. Kevin was...
Gotcha.
I bought it from the original family that was just getting rid of it.
I'm sorry. I did my research, Jason. I got the names confused, though, man. I'm so sorry.
But that's okay.
Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, the family ends up with this grandma's creepy old box. They go to bury her. The rabbi says, sorry, we don't bury things with people. That's an Egyptian thing. We kind of got free of that. We're not burying things, you know, with your grandma. If you want her in the ground, the box doesn't go. And so that's how the family ended up kind of putting it up for sale. This unsuspecting antique dealer buys it, thinks it's a great gift for mom until everything goes wrong with her, stroke, crazy smell, things. He sells it to a kid in college up here in Kirksville, Missouri, who just happens to be the roommate of one of my university staff members. And that's how then I buy it for Michael Callahan, who's a magician, illusionist.
And you get stuck with it.
And then I'm stuck with it. And so I use every means available to figure out what it is. And in going backwards to all these previous owners to find out if I could find any reason why this thing is in Kirksville, Missouri, and why it seemed to want to stay there.
You know, it's funny. You say the person had it. His hair was falling out. He was being chased by shadowy figures. His life was falling apart. That sounds just like Sean and I on an average day. Did he get better after the Dybbuk box was gone?
He did. His life has really turned around. However, he didn't even deliver it to me. He gave it to the staff member. So I have never come face to face with what was the third owner, the original creator, Kevin, the antique dealer, and then the third owner was the college kid, and then myself being the fourth owner and last so far. So I've never even seen him face to face, but his life is back together. However, he's had opportunities through Sci-Fi Channel, through History 2, Discovery. He refuses, and his family has pleaded to get everything off the internet on him, but he can't, and so... he has nothing to do with it.
Hey, Jason, what is it like? America wants to know, what is it like to bring this thing into your home and actually lay down and go to sleep and turn the lights off? What's it like to be in the same place with this thing?
So that's the thing, is my children were fairly young at the time, you know, I'm talking, you know, 13 and 10 years old. And I really had thought, oh my gosh, it would be like bringing the Ebola virus into your home. I mean, you feel horrible because you've, you know, unwittingly done something that could affect them. What I did was really keep them from being ever really aware of it. And I do think there's a sense of protection. If you're ignorant to it even being around in the house, even existing. But one day when there was this strange jasmine smell and I was trying to get it to my illusionist friend, my son walks into the room and I can smell this strange scent that doesn't belong in our historic home, because typically everything just smells kind of old and musty, but not sweet and sugary. And he walks across the room, looks me in the face, and he just says, Dad, you've got the Dybbuk box. Because I did tell them about 6 months earlier about these college kids and this little thing they had. And of course they were like, well, as long as it will never get near us. And I said, oh, no, it will never, never get near us. And he looked at me and said, you've got the Dybbuk box. And I couldn't lie. I said, yeah. But I said, it'll be all right. Don't worry about it. And really try to keep it low-key. But meanwhile, I was suffering bleeding eyes, congestion that I literally was coughing constantly and choking for years on end. I mean, I seriously figured I had, you know, tuberculosis, some horrible disease, breaking out in hives and welts and all the strange things that go with it. I assumed I was poisoned by the box, that maybe someone put, you know, anthrax or some type of arsenic on it, and I had unwittingly brought it in and I was breathing it and touching it. But all tests proved that it was just a wooden box with a little varnish of sugar and nothing that would harm anybody. So that was kind of how it kind of came in my house. And then really a lot of research, learning Hebrew, talking to rabbis, people who do Kabbalah, anybody who could help me figure out what this item was.
Why? What is the purpose of the box originally?
Could you hear that? What is the purpose of it originally?
You know, the thing is, I should have warned you in the beginning, every single interview on the Dybbuk box, no matter how good your equipment is, it gets thwarted.
Well, don't feel bad about that, because you might have the most haunted object in America, but we have the most, you know, we have the most cursed studio. So it's a good match. No, Sean,
bad combination.
Go ahead and ask that again, Sean.
Jason, I was just saying, what was the, and I apologize if you've already stated that, what is the purpose of the box? We know the Jewish lady had brought it over to the country, from the old country to our country. What is its general use? Why was it created?
Well, and that's what I think was the mystery of my research in my book, which talks about really trying to figure out why would a nice little old lady create such a horrible thing. And I don't think that was the purpose. The purpose was it was a very personal prayer item, an object like an altar that she felt through her religion she could talk to God and she could ask for things. So if you want to think of it as a prayer or a wish box, because prayers are nothing more than wishing. I hope something doesn't happen, or I hope, you know, something does happen. But always wishes, you know, when you're in your prayer, when you want health or you want wealth or you want protection for somebody, you're really kind of wishing for things. And so this is how I think of it, as a wish box, because others have used it and it typically will answer their prayer. But in her case, she wanted to understand the Holocaust. So her wish was, how did this begin? How did my siblings, my parents, my friends, how did our whole community, how did this happen? And that's a pretty big question. Yeah. when you think about it. And so that's why at her death she has to have it buried with her, because there would be no need for this to be answered. However, the family said they realized when they did not bury the box, her wish was still clinging to it, and it was set into motion that box would answer the prayer, which is why the Holocaust.
Right, absolutely. Now, she survived the Holocaust, and what I was reading, the two objects that she brought with her was a trunk that she used to put her personal belongings in and this box, correct?
And that's supposedly how the story went, yeah.
Yeah, and I just wonder if they had used this in those Nazi camps to do something with. Because, you know, a lot of people speculate that Hitler was involved in these experiments and the people around him, and they say that he was really into the supernatural and all this. Have you found anything out like that? I know it's way out there, but...
Oh, no, it really isn't. See, that the esoteric arts, I mean, that's the swastika itself was a symbol used by ancient cultures for, you know, thousands of years, used for, you know, the four directions. It was used prior to World War II in casinos for good luck on coins. Actually, the swastika was, you changed it a little bit, but it basically was a good luck symbol of sorts. And so obviously all this, the colors, creating a history. And so Hitler was really into, mysticism. And so, but I will say that whatever box they created at the time of this woman's youth, it was lost in the war, and she recreated, used this box to recreate. So it isn't as old. It's probably from the late 50s, early 60s, where she basically recreated this box of prayer to talk and do things. And the funny thing is, if you look at this, the connection to Hitler is, actually, Hitler had a rebellion. It failed. It was, I think, called the beer rebellion. And it was a complete flop, and he got thrown in jail for 8 years. And while he was in jail, he looks to America, and he sees that there is actually someone from where the box came, Kirksville, Missouri, who has gone into eugenics, is writing laws on sterilization, immigration restriction, marriage law, and basically Hitler takes this man's laws and creates the Nuremberg trials. So you can right now Google Harry Laughlin, and it's like L-A-U-G-H-L-I-N, like laugh, mm-hmm. L-I-N, Laughlin. Type in Google Harry Laughlin and Hitler, and you will see why the box ended up in the Midwest. You don't even have a Jewish community here, but this is actually where the mentor to Hitler wrote the laws that were taken verbatim. Laws here in the 20s turned in the 1930s in Germany, only Hitler did these laws on steroids, and we kind of hid that little part of our history away. So it's out there, and it's not a conspiracy theory, it's fact, but the winners get to write the history. And this is why I think the box came here. Was her prayer was what caused the Holocaust? Well, it actually was a little farmer here in Kirksville, Missouri, who was talking about eugenics to better breed your cows, your pigs, your chickens, and transferred that to humans, and that we should cull 10% of the human population, not kill them, but sterilize them. Hitler took this information, brought this man over, gave him an honorary degree, and the rest is Holocaust history.
Now, Jason, you were saying earlier, you know, you're dealing with the smells in the house, boils, you thought you were poisoned. Why keep the box?
Well, I think anyone who's ever owned the box has never died from it. They've gotten very sick. They've had horrible things happen. It's as if it was to keep them moving to come up with the answer. Now, here's the weird thing. The laws that this man wrote, Harry Laughlin, killed 6 million Jews, how many gypsies, how many blacks, how many gays. The thing about it is, he dies in 1943 from a heart attack. He actually becomes epileptic. The same things that he's trying to sterilize, latently, he becomes one at the age of 60. Dies a long, slow, horrible death, and is forgotten in a marked grave. Still here in Kirksville where the box came. But the funny thing is, if there is a Dybbuk, the thing would be, there would be no rest for this evil deed unless there was some type of retribution, at least some acknowledgement. So if there is a Dybbuk, it really could be Harry, and he would not stop pushing each owner until the answer was out there. So in that sense, I think it's done, and so it's been put away. But anyone could pray to it or wish on it and start it all over again.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the contents of the box. We've talked about who, what, and where. What about what's inside? What's the secrets in there?
What's inside the box?
Yes.
really what you would consider very personal kind of artifacts, familiar tokens, things that a family, you know, a lock of hair, pennies from birth, a clipped rose. These are things that you'd find in a lot of people's homes right now, only set into the box kind of as an offering of sorts. And so there's a stone which has carved in Hebrew the word shalom, which I think many people have heard, shalom meaning hello, peace. But it's a kind of peace at the highest level that would only be achieved probably in death. There's a prayer on the box called the Shema, and it's basically a prayer of protection, first prayer that a Jewish person would learn, the last one they would hope to say in danger upon their death. There is a little brass cup. Alcohol intensifies spiritual connection, and even the granite that is carved upon with shalom are energy pieces and a protection from the force of God. So those are kind of the things, and the box itself is has a unique opening, so you can't really grab into it. You have to pull a drawer and it mystically opens, letting the light fall equally upon the items inside. So everything about it is very well figured out.
Hey, Jason, we've just got to take a quick 2-second break for our listeners over at 102.7 The Hog. If you want to hold that thought right there, we'll be right back after this.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to your Mystifying Oracle of Radio. We're right in the middle of interviewing our friend Jason Haxton. He's the author of the book, The Dybbuk Box. He's also the owner of The Dybbuk Box. And, Jason, you were saying?
Well, as I was mentioning, the items that are in the box are things that any family would probably have, pennies from birth or marriage or some significant death. But pennies or coins in general lock you to that year. You know that this piece was around at that time. So if you want to target a time in the past, coins are your best way of having access to that time period because it has lived through it. As a matter of fact, I just before I went online, got a dollar bill. It's like, you know, where am I? Where's George? And found out the dollar bill I had previously had been in St. Louis. And, you know, you can track things. And so it is interesting when coins are used in rituals. And so hair, there was two locks of hair, one light-colored, one dark. Again, always the light and dark aspects of magic, black magic, white magic. So these are the kinds of things that we're in. And I would say that anyone could probably create their own kind of prayer box with similar kind of items.
Jason, are you there?
Yep.
Are you having some interference on that end?
How's that? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You must be having some interference. We got some storms blowing through the Midwest here. We apologize. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine, Sean. But again, this is so typical. Whether it be Aaron Wright from Mysterious Universe or Clyde from Ground Zero, nobody has ever given an interview without problems. As much as I always assume, and I almost forewarned you, but it's just so typical.
We're so sorry, Jason. If we could fix the powers, we would, but you know, living with this thing, and you know, I know we'll close on time tonight because possibly, you know, there's powers out there messing with our interview here, and we'd have to definitely get you back on. But, you know, people, what do you believe? And I know people have asked you before, and sometimes you've kind of said different things. What do you feel is around the box? Because I know we did the radiation thing.
Sean, I lost you on that whole thing there.
I was just guessing between a beep, bop, beep. Who knows?
Oh, I'm sorry. Jason, can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, I can now.
Okay, brother. I was asking, what do you feel with the box? Do you feel evil demon, spirit, or some kind of natural explanation?
I figure that, I mean, maybe like Raiders of the Lost Ark, that there is something about this piece that does give you connection in such a way, the magic combination of things in it, the energy that's been placed in it. But I do think It has a sense of power, and that is why I have buried it. Now, that doesn't mean destroy it. I mean, I work with museum artifacts, and I'm very careful, but, you know, the wooden box itself is pretty solid. It's in an Acacia Ark of Gold. It's in a gray military case, and all of that is put into the ground because supposedly, from the Jewish perspective, that will draw the energy away from it and depower it. But if you were to dig this thing up 2,000 years from now, it would be in the same condition it went in because it's highly protective, even as it's put into the ground to relax and be away. And again, I'm not afraid of the piece. I just don't want it getting out there and more wishes being made or uses for it, and it going back in and creating more problems for other people. And so I think it really is at its end, provided it's left alone.
Right, and I know we're having audio problems tonight, and believe it or not, in 8 years of broadcasting, guys, this is not the first time where we came on talking about a haunted object like the Dybbuk box, where we've had this kind of interference. And I, once again, Jason, I do apologize, and we'd love to have you back on, but I want to, and this will close my questions, Demon Hunter, for Jason, what did you do with the box?
I got the first half of that, Sean. What did he do?
What?
I'm so sorry, Jason. And I was telling people about the interference we've had in the past when we speak about powerful artifacts like the Dybbuk box. And, I mean, I believe this stuff's real, guys. And I was asking you, Jason, what did you do with the box? And that's my final question because I know we're having interference.
Okay. And as I mentioned, it actually, I worked with the rabbis to get what would be the best solution. Here's the thing. The solution came from two sources, the science community and the religious community. The rabbi said, put it in the old wood of acacia lined in gold, and that will calm it, and it will go to rest. The science community said, no. You need to contain, there's electromagnetic energy, some weird combination of everything in there. That's what's causing the problem. There could be radioactivity on the stone. There could be something about the quartz. There's something about the copper. But whatever it is, you've got a weird electronic magnetic field, and that can give you cancers. It can destroy your health. So what you need to do is contain that within gold, because that's the best conductive metal, and it will short-circuit what's going on there. Well, the scientists said exactly what the Jewish people said, only they said it from a religious perspective. The scientists said, dude, put it in a box of gold for a science perspective, and basically ground it in the ground. And so that is what's been done with it, and it is now resting. I did pull it out for the Discovery Channel about 4 months ago, and they completely tested everything, and there'll be a show coming out in December on it, and then basically I put it back in the ground, and that's pretty much it.
Now, Jason, the box has been sensationalized by a movie. People know the name. I said the name at work today, and somebody said, oh, that's fantastic. I can't wait to listen. But when you're dealing with this, it's in your home. You're just saying how you keep it. It's locked up safe. But you're also, you know, people tell us all the time, we're playing with fire because of what we do. Since you've kept it wrapped up and stuff like that, Do you still worry about it? Do you have bad dreams about it? Anything like that?
The thing is, I do think that by putting it away, it's calmed it down. But every time it comes out, everything starts over again. And even when, as you say, just discussing it, like on a radio show, everything goes haywire on people who never have problems. Now, if people do have problems, they have more problems. But you could, if you trace back to any show, you will invariably hear what's just happened tonight. It happens every single time in different ways. Whole buildings lose their whole power. People suddenly start getting as if they're like being burned, like burning embers and literally are blistered. The same things that happen to me often will happen to those putting on the show. So I hope all is safe. If you read listeners themselves start having strange things occur while they're listening to the show, it's almost as if it's a conduit, and that's why I keep it buried and away, but also so I can keep an eye on it so that, you know, nobody else is messing with it. But it does for now seem calm, provided nobody messes with it. And that's my wish. I've written the story. I think it's fascinating. I think people can create all kinds of strange spiritual artifacts if they're not careful.
Now,
one that's put away.
one thing last, Jason, before we end here. In general, people think that, you know, let's go to the Jewish faith. Prayer is, you know, mankind's connection to God, and you have a prayer box. Now you go over to the Judeo-Christian belief system where, you know, demons are separated from God. They can have no connection with God, and therefore they are jealous of our connection to God. Do you think that this box started off as something good, like you were saying, and maybe has something attached to it that doesn't want people to have that connection to God?
Well, and as I mentioned, I do believe there could be something attached, whether it be the spirit of this eugenic person who actually inspired and mentored Hitler and went over there and helped him. Again, it's a crazy history, but there could be something that's been attracted and is moving this about, which is another reason to keep it kind of buried in a way, because typically that does lessen the power. If it can be grounded in the earth, that has an amazing protection in itself, I've been told. So,
well, you know, we've all seen the movie, Jason. It won't stay buried forever.
Well, that's why the movie ends with, you know, here Zadok is going to get rid of it, and it gets loose again. And so there will be a sequel. They're working on it at Lionsgate, and, you know, they've talked to me about some of the ideas for that. And so, again, but they won't do it until it's right. But you will be hearing more of the story, which I'll go back to the book and poll, I think. We've discussed that. And so you'll be hearing more, at least, of the Dybbuk box on the silver screen. But if I have anything to do with it, it'll stay buried for now.
Well, you know, Sean, it's about that time. Jason, will you stay on the line with us while Sean and I wrap up? We'd love to talk to you a little at the end of the show.
Yeah, not a problem.
You know what's amazing, Jason? I can hear you perfectly now, and the interference is gone. That's terrific. Okay, guys, let's pay the bills. Thank you so much, Jason Haxton, everybody, author of The Dybbuk Box, also the owner. Let's pay the bills.
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Special thanks to all our sponsors, 102.7 FM, The Hog, Stitcher Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, and the new Action Audio Apps. Hey! Are you listening? They want to know. Check them out. ActionAudioApps.com, Midnight Syndicate, Creative Commons, and Free Music Archives. Thanks for the tunes. From the haunted back roads of America, this has been another exclusive G&D show interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Night, guys.